Interesting, as we were sharing tonight, there was several folks that shared about trials or difficulties, health issues, struggles in life. And I can't help but think about the Psalms. The Psalms provide such great comfort and such strength in times of difficulty. And I trust that you, as followers of Jesus Christ, have experienced that as well. The comfort of the Psalms, the instruction of the Psalms. And as we now are planning to embark on a study of one of the Psalms, I want to encourage you to remember this book of the Bible, this series of songs that have been put together by many different writers. And they were put together through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And they come in many sizes and many types, many different topics, speaking of many different subjects. But all in all, they provide a great strength to us as believers, because each one of them, in their own way and in their own merit, point us to God. Turn in your Bibles, please, tonight to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm 119. Now, if you're like me, when you hear that word, Psalm 119, you're kind of like, whoa, what are we in for? This is a psalm that is so hard to get through in one sitting. And it's so long, and you have to just wonder about the writer. What was his life? And yet, as you read this, you truly do understand God's word was his life. And I have so enjoyed this passage of Scripture through the past couple weeks in my devotions that I've felt led to bring it to us in a series of messages. In a study of Psalm 119, it truly comes out as a study in the sufficiency of God's word for the believer. The sufficiency of God's word for the believer. I'm going to read a quote for you from one of the books that I have in my library. It goes like this: "The Psalms should be seen as a guide to worship. Like a psalmist, we can use the Psalms to enable us to praise God, to make appeals to Him, and to remember His benefits. Also, we can learn from the Psalms to relate honestly to God in expressing joy, disappointment, anger, or other emotions. The Psalms can also be used to encourage us to reflect and meditate on what God has done for us." I don't know when the last time was that you read Psalm 119, but as you would read it, you would realize that it has many different ideas, but one main subject. And that one main subject is God's word, or God's law, or God's precepts. And the writer, as he approaches that subject of God's law and God's precepts, he comes at it from all different angles, and he brings his life experiences, and he compares them to the Word of God, and he applies the Word of God to his life. And what we have is his testimony in this psalm. We don't know the writer. Some people make different assumptions, but in my studies I found nothing conclusive. But perhaps that is better, because rather than focusing on the writer, we focus on the subject and the true writer, who is God. Charles Spurgeon said this about this psalm. He said, "It spreads itself out before me like a vast rolling prairie, to which I could see no bound. And this alone created a feeling of dismay as he was approaching his study of this. Its expanse was unbroken by a bluff or headland, and hence it threatened a monotonous task, although the fear has not been realized. This marvelous poem seemed to me a great sea, of holy teaching, moving in its many verses, wave upon wave, all together without an island of special and remarkable statement to break it up. And as Spurgeon realized, yes, this psalm is quite a task to study. And I must agree with him as I have read over and over this and tried to attack it from all kinds of different angles as a preacher and trying to put some sort of outline together and some sort of method to attack this passage, and nothing seems to work. There just seems to be no regular flow or no break. It is just one continuous, as Charles Spurgeon says, wave upon wave, central on the subject of God's word, God's law. And it's interesting, as you look through this psalm, the majority of this psalm is first person. In other words, the psalmist is including himself personally in relationship with God and his word. And he is wrestling with the truths. He is appreciating the truths of God's word. Now, just a little background about this psalm. And in your Bible, in your text there, you may have headings. And the psalm is probably, in your Bible, broken down into eight verses each. This psalm is known as an alphabetical acrostic psalm. What does that mean? Well, what that means is that there is 22 stanzas in this psalm. 22 stanzas. Each stanza, every verse in the stanza, begins with the same Hebrew letter. And so you have 22 Hebrew letters. And so you have verses 1 through 8 that all begin with Aleph. So the stanza, if you were to read the Hebrew text, they were all begin with Aleph. Now, we don't know exactly why the psalmist chose to write this in this way. But it's possible that it was to help aid in memorization. And you're like, what? Memorization? Yes. The Jews, they are huge on memorization. And it sure would help, too, if you knew that the next 8 verses all began with the same letter, right? And then the next 8 verses would begin with Beth, and the next Gimel, and the next Daleth, and so on, all the way down through the alphabet. Well, that's this psalm. And that's one of the unique things about this psalm. There are a couple others that are similar to it, but none that are as detailed as this. Now, as we approach this, and we are just going to skim the surface tonight in our study on this, there are at least 8 different words in these 176 verses, at least 8 different words used to refer to God's law or to God's word. And so as you read down through this, you will probably pick them up pretty quickly. I'll just give them to you. I'll read a couple, an example of each here in this psalm. You have Torah, which would mean what in English? Law. Okay, you have the Torah. It's typically called the law. And so it's translated most of the time as a law. If you look at verse 1 of our chapter, Psalm 119:1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the Torah of the Lord, of the law of the Lord. Now, this could be the general, it could mean general, which basically is God's instructions, whether it be the Pentateuch and the prophets, or basically it's God's revelation to man. And at the time of this writing, the writer most definitely would have had the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. We don't know what all else he had that he might have been referring to as the law. The law can also be referred to in a specific sense to the Pentateuch, which is the first 5 books of the Bible. So you have a very specific way you could look at it, or general, and you kind of have to use your context to determine what we're talking about. Another word that's used for the Word of God here is the word If you look at verse 9, wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Here the psalmist speaking of God's word. Another word that you have is judgments. You look at verse 39. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. We have another word, testimonies. If you look at 119, verse 119, thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. You have commandments. Look at verse 86. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. All thy commandments. Again, all of these speaking of God's word or God's law. You have the word statute in verse 68. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me thy statutes. And once again, each of these words that I'm telling you, this is not the only place they come. For in fact, there are only about two or maybe three verses in this entire chapter that do not have any reference to God's word or God's law. Okay? So that should tell us where the thrust is. That should tell us what the focus is. Another word is precepts, verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts. I have respect unto thy ways. And then finally, we have another Hebrew word for word, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I bring that to your attention so that as we go through this study or as you read this on your own, you'll be looking and you will see the incredible emphasis upon God's word. It is, just like Spurgeon said it, a wave upon wave upon wave of application of one's life to the word of God. And how they intermix, and how the Word of God plays a role in one's life. Now, as we go through this study together, you know, obviously our focus is beyond educating ourselves. This is going to be a spiritual exercise for all of us, because what we are going to do as we look at these verses is seek to put ourselves in the place of the writer and seek to understand what he was writing and why he was writing it and what is the thrust behind these words, remembering that God did inspire them. In closing tonight, I just want to read for us the first three verses of this chapter. They say, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. And dear ones, as we approach this study, as we take the time to look at what's going on in the mind of God as he's inspiring this writer, let us remember the blessedness that comes with applying God's truth to our lives. Let us remember that to walk in obedience does bring blessing. Let us remember that the Word of God is a consistent standard, a consistent foundation that will not crack, that will not give away, that will not fall. Let's remember Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, he that hears my words and doeth them is like a man who builds his house upon a rock. And so God's word is a rock in the life of the psalmist. And you will see as we go through this, as he marches through afflictions, as he is beat upon and persecuted, as he himself struggles with sin, and yes, all of those are in here. You will see him continually come back to the firm footing of the Word of God. It will not fail. It does not move. It remains the same. And so may we understand the blessedness that comes from keeping his testimonies, from seeking him with a whole heart.